Hello, friends. Thank you for joining us here on Advanced Studio Classroom. It's April 7th, and we are going to continue on with our sports article of this month. What are we talking about? Cliff diving. Yes. And with me in the studio, I have Gabriel and Brandon. Hi, guys.
Hey. Hi, Liz.
Yes, it's good to be back talking about this risky but adventurous business of cliff diving.
Yes. Well, we did cover a lot of stuff from yesterday, and so for those of you who weren't able to join us yesterday, we'll do a quick recap. And for those of you who were able to join us on yesterday's lesson, let's do a quick review. So, Gabriel, talk to me. What did we talk about yesterday?
Well, of course, Stephen LeBoux likes to take leaps of faith in every dive that he does. He often does these 80 to 90 foot dives into water, which is just crazy to me, but he makes a living off of it. It's his life, and he has a signature dive. And he actually, what I really enjoyed about yesterday's lesson was that he doesn't just get up there and dive. He actually takes time to enjoy the scenery. He takes everything in, and it kind of makes him calm, and it allows him to control his heartbeat, among other things. And so I really appreciate that about him.
Very cool. Thanks, Gabriel. And Brandon, what did we talk about part two of yesterday?
Well, we talked about his signature dive, and we looked at different words, signature, showcase, trademark, all referring to this dive and how it identifies him. Really, when they see this dive, they know that it's Stephen LeBoux. If you are into cliff diving and you see it, you know that that is his dive. And so we learned that it is a very difficult and complex dive. It's called the quint half, which involves five somersaults and a half twist in the pike position. The pike position, you can see that there at the top of page 16.
Okay. And diving, we know there's cliff diving, and they're called high divers, the ones who do it. And not to be confused with Olympic style diving. Okay, yes, it's all about jumping from somewhere high, but there are still some differences. And we will find out a little bit more about Stephen LeBoux and the kind of diving that he's been involved with. Okay, he hasn't always been a cliff diver. He's done other kinds of stuff, too. And if you have a copy of your Advance magazine, we are on page 17, and we're going to take today's reading two sections. So please join us. We're going to go from line 10 to line 28, and here is Steve, who's going to help us with today's reading.
In cliff diving, not only are the grace and athleticism of the divers a feast for the eyes, but so are the locales, which range from exotically dangerous remote sites to stunt venues that Evel Knievel would admire. Getting to the platform can be a feat in itself. LeBoux said the most treacherous climb was in Thailand's Phi Phi Islands, where divers, wearing harnesses, had to scale bamboo ladders up 100 feet of craggy rock face, then walk across a narrow bamboo bridge and rappel down to the platform. LeBoux, 29, finished third overall in 2012. He started in 2011 after qualifying by 0.01 point at a competition in Australia, despite fracturing his tailbone the day before when he over-rotated on a practice dive. That first season I spent mostly in a state of terror, he said. I had trouble sleeping and eating. On the platform, I had to fight the flight instinct.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Okay. We begin with this statement here, line 10 of page 17. In cliff diving, not only are the grace and athleticism of the divers a feast for the eyes, but so are the locales. Okay. Feast for the eyes.
that's just something that looks amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, I think of maybe a show that is a feast for the eyes. A circus is often a feast for the eyes. It's spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
it says here at the beginning, it talks about the grace of, it's talking about the way it looks, the beauty mm-hmm. of it. And yesterday we talked about the form. That's one of the things that the divers are judged on. And so it's important that their dives are beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like the word athleticism. And all this is just so incredible. It's amazing to watch. But it's not just about the divers and what they're doing, how they're performing, but it's also about the location, mm-hmm. just in, you know, as a backdrop, so to speak.
Yeah, I imagine that's a big draw for people who are hosting this event, for Red Bull, mm-hmm. who does this event, that they want to find a place that looks beautiful, and the place itself is a feast for the eyes.
Right. But the places that have been chosen for these as dive sites, they range from exotically dangerous remote sites to stunt venues. Okay, so let's break this down. Exotic, that mm-hmm. means not your typical normal. Mm-hmm. It looks like something far away, mm-hmm. a different kind of culture.
Maybe even. Tropical.
Tropical, yeah. You think of land that's far, far away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and dangerous remote sites. So it's hard to get to. Mm-hmm. A remote basically means hardly anyone's there. And that's one kind of an area that you would see these competitions being held. It also could be stunt venues. Okay, and what's that?
A stunt would be like a dangerous act. Well, mm-hmm. they give you an example here, Evel Knievel. If you've mm-hmm. ever seen Evel Knievel do one of his stunts, he's on a motorcycle and he's jumping over maybe like 19 cars or something, mm-hmm. or buses or even snakes, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that would be a stunt. It's kind of crazy and it can be very dangerous.
Right. He's a famous American stunt artist?
Yes.
Okay. He's a performer, yeah. an entertainer in some ways.
He's quite interesting. There's a couple of videos of him online, and there's a famous one of a famous fall, actually. He tried to do a jump over many cars. And there's, mm-hmm. yeah, he ended up being in the hospital for almost a month,
yes.
I think.
He's known for these amazing jumps and also some rather unfortunate falls and boo-boos.
Speaking of those falls, I found that he's actually, or during his lifetime, he broke 37 bones.
Nice.
Not on purpose, obviously. Right. That wasn't his life goal, but just these things do happen whenever you choose to take on a career involving stunts.
Yeah.
And so because of all that he did and accomplished, Evel Knievel in the American culture, basically we know or equate that to basically dangerous performances.
Yeah, like he is America's daredevil.
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much.
And that's why we see here in the article describing these platforms or these places where the diving competitions are held, they are stunt venues because they are scary.
Mm-hmm.
They are dangerous. Mm-hmm. And it's the kind of stuff that Evel Knievel, if he saw them, mm-hmm. he would be jealous.
Yeah, I might even add the word even here, stunt venues that even Evel Knievel would admire.
Right.
Like, if he admires it, then you know it's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. yes. And not only are they dangerous, okay, dangerous to jump off, but just even trying to get up there is not easy, okay? And we see line 15 at the beginning. What do we see there?
Yeah, that getting to the platform can be a feat in itself. Of course, if it's a feat, that means it's something that you accomplished. It wasn't easy, and every jump he does is a feat. However, before even jumping, getting to the place where he's going to jump from can be a feat.
Right. So it was already mm-hmm. a challenge by itself. Okay. Forget the jumping. Let's just say you just need to get to the top and that's all you need to do.
Mm-hmm.
That alone mm-hmm. is a challenge.
Yeah.
That alone is an accomplishment. If you can actually accomplish that, people are going to clap, apply, and cheer for you.
But hopefully they don't leave before you jump.
Yeah. Okay, but what was the most treacherous climb that he's ever done?
Oh, it was in Thailand, Thailand's Phi Phi Islands. And it was very treacherous, meaning that it was very dangerous, and he had to actually wear a harness, which so he's wearing a device around him mm-hmm. just in case he were to fall off, that mm. he would be caught as a result of wearing the harness.
Right. And so to get there, what did he have to do?
Well, he had to scale bamboo ladders up 100 feet of craggy rock face. And then walk across a narrow bamboo bridge and rappel down to the platform.
It sounds like an Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. What's going on there?
So,
bamboo.
Then this is before even doing his famous jump, his dive. Okay, which is scary already. We talked about that already. So before doing all that, he had to focus and concentrate, get to the site safely.
Yeah, and you know, I think of this word scale. You know, they could have just said he had to climb bamboo ladders. That's what we do with ladders. We climb up a ladder, but scale makes it seem more dangerous, which it was, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Right. When you have to scale it. It's no ordinary climb. Like normally in an apartment building or maybe in your school building, you will climb the stairs. You wouldn't scale that.
Right. Yeah.
No, the scaling usually involves a lot more physical effort.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like something that's very steep.
Yes. Yeah.
Like rock climbers, they scale rock faces. Yeah.
Right. And this was 100 feet.
Yeah.
That's even higher than
the jump.
Than the actual jump.
That would just discourage me right away. I'm like, forget it. Can you just lift me up there somehow?
Right.
At the top of the cliff.
I mean, normally, that's basically asking you to go up stairs. Like, let's say you had to go to the 10th floor of a building, not by elevator, but by the stairs.
Yeah.
By climbing the stairs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's tiring right there.
Yeah, that's right.
And then this is along the craggy rock face. What's craggy?
Well, craggy is just the idea of something being very rough and maybe having many rocks as well.
Okay. And then you get to the top. You're not done. You still have to cross this narrow bamboo bridge. And for some people, the idea of crossing a narrow bridge is scary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then you're still not done. You got to rappel down to the platform.
Yes. That's why they need the harnesses, because he has to rappel. Usually you use a rope. You're holding a rope and you go down a steep slope or even straight down.
Mm-hmm.
I've done rappelling before just off the top of a building,
mm-hmm.
and it's quite fun.
It is quite fun. Rappelling. Okay. Yay. I can finally say I've done
something
here. Yes. I've done it before.
Yeah.
Rappelling. You put on this harness. It's almost like this, this belt-like contraption, or basically these belts that you tie around the lower half of your body, and then you're hooked onto these ropes, and then you are lowered, and you can just you don't fall because you got the ropes holding you, and that's what he is going by, and that's how he got to the platform before doing his fancy jump. So, all right, his fancy dive. All right, moving on. How old is Mr. LeBou?
He's only 29 years old. So young.
Yeah.
Absolutely young.
Puts me to shame. I can't even do one somersault on the ground. He's doing five.
Well, you have other gifts. You have other gifts.
You have other gifts, and you are much older.
Much older.
Much older.
That's right.
He's but a kid.
He finished third overall in 2012.
Right, and he also finished third overall last year in 2014.
Okay. That's an amazing feat. And he started in 2011. That wasn't too long ago. So it's not like he's been doing this for years and years.
Right, yeah, I'm kind of impressed by this.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that he qualified by 0.01 points at a competition in Australia.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
by that itty-bitty bit.
Uh-huh.
That itty-bitty bit was what allowed him to be able to continue on.
Right. And that's why we're writing about him.
Yes.
That 0.01 point.
But not only by this 0.01, the amazing thing, moving on, line 23, he had fractured his tailbone the day before.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So if you fracture something, you crack it or maybe even break a bone.
Mm-hmm.
And this, in case, of course, is his tailbone. And so that's amazing. He was able to qualify even though he had hurt himself.
Yeah, by 0.01. In other words, he almost didn't make it.
We would say maybe by the skin of his teeth, right?
Yes.
I mean, barely.
Barely. Okay, this was in Australia. And how did he even injure himself?
Well, it says here he had over-rotated on a practice dive. So when you're rotating, you're spinning. And basically, he landed by spinning a little bit too much. So he landed not how he wanted to land.
Right.
You know, I've done jumps off of maybe places that are like a story and a half or maybe two stories high, like in Kunding, there's Tuan Fan Shi. And I usually just jumped off of it. A couple years ago, I decided to flip off, thinking that it would be no problem, and I landed on my back.
Ouch.
So I under-rotated. And that was painful enough. I can't imagine doing something off of 90 feet high.
Right. When you are doing something like this, everything is done for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do it just right, no injury, and everyone goes home happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anything less, anything more, and then that's just...
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Someone's going to go home unhappy. So he makes a statement here. What does he say?
Well, he says, the first season I spent mostly in a state of terror. And you can imagine, I would be in a state of terror for probably several seasons. And of course, a state talking about a condition. So he was very afraid during this first season.
Mm-hmm. And he had trouble doing what?
I would be the same way. He had trouble sleeping, eating, and on the platform, he had to fight the flight instinct.
Flight, like airplane?
Yeah, no, yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, usually I see it like that.
We usually think flight as in, like, you know, going on an airplane.
Flying through the air. Right,
right. But in this case, it's a different, slightly different meaning.
Yeah, it means to escape or to run away.
Right, because of something scary.
Yeah, we have that phrase, fight or flight, mm-hmm. right? You just said it. If something is scary, your tendency is to just get away from it, run away.
Right, and it's assuring. He had those feelings.
Yeah, he's
not
normal.
Just us.
He's normal. He's a human.
So there are people who are amazing. You know, they feel different things, like unlike the rest of the population. But in his situation, starting out, he also had those nervous feelings, and he also thought about, like, wanting to just
run away.
But he decided to fight it. So actually, you can decide that fight or flight. You're going to run away, or are you going to stay there and fight it out?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we're going to find out a little bit more about what others think about him. What does his wife think about all this? Please follow along.
A former diver's perspective. Labou's wife, Lindsay Lowell, who was a diver in college, marvels at the skill, spatial awareness, and mental strength of high divers. I put my hands over my eyes and crack my fingers when I watch, she said. It's one of the toughest sports you can do physically, and they have to overcome anxiety on every dive. I'm a daredevil. I've been skydiving, and I love roller coasters, but I was petrified when I stood on a platform in Italy. I wanted to film Stephen's practice dives, but my hands were shaking and sweating so badly I had to give the camera to someone else. Labou made it to the finals of the 2004 U.S. Olympic trials in synchronized platform, but a torn wrist tendon in 2006 ended his Olympic aspirations.
If you just tuned in, friends, you're listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Liz, and I'm here in the studio with Gabe and Brandon. We've been going over our sports article for the month, day 2. Cliff diving, risky but adventurous. That's the title of our article, and we've been talking about high diver Stephen Labou. We're now on page 17, if you have a copy of Advance Magazine, and we just listened to Steve helping us out with the reading. So Labou's wife, all right.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of lady is she?
Well, we see that she was also a diver, and she was a diver in college, so they have that in common.
Mm-hmm.
And she says that, we see here that she marvels at the skill, meaning that she's so surprised at her husband's skill and others who do this cliff diving.
Okay, so she's impressed. She thinks it's amazing. And we see this phrase here, spatial awareness, line 30. What does mm-hmm. spatial mean, Gabe?
Well, that's anything related to the position or area or the size of something. So basically related to space, mm-hmm. right? And so if you're up there, you have to take everything into consideration. You see everything around you, and you have to know how it's all going to work with your body flying through the air.
Right. Plus mental strength.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not easy. There's so much to overcome. Mm. And when she watches him dive, She has this very interesting description here. What does she do, Brandon?
She puts her hands over her eyes, and she cracks her fingers when she watches. So she can see, but just barely. She cracks her fingers enough where she can see through them, but it helps her to get through the stressful situation.
So you're scared to watch, but you want to watch. Almost like a scary movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
a lot of people do.
I can understand that. I mean, these sound like, what do they call them, nervous reactions. I mean, everybody has them. We do something when we're nervous with our fingers or, and this is what she does. Maybe she cracks her fingers when she's nervous, and she's certainly nervous often, I guess, as she watches her husband die.
Right. I mean, this is already scary enough as is, and I know some people would feel nervous already watching the contestants going, you know, one by one. But then when it's somebody you know, someone you love, it's a dearly loved one who's doing it.
Yeah, if they land the wrong way, they're going to injure themselves or even worse.
Right, so imagine a parent watching their child doing it. I'm sure that's also nerve-wracking.
Yes.
Scary. And she says it's one of the toughest sports you can do physically, and they have to overcome anxiety on every dive. Okay, so she knows, she recognizes this is not a little walk through the park here.
No, I can imagine every time you're just so anxious, and that would be nerve-wracking, as you said, or we could say I would be a nervous wreck.
Yes, it's not like, oh, I've seen him, you know, jump so many times, I'm used to it.
Yeah, every time is new, it's different.
Right.
It's a new risk.
Right, because the location's different every time. I mean, the feet alone is already tough. Then you have all these different challenges every time. And so it's not easy being a spectator.
Right.
See?
I know.
See?
You would think that the spectator has the easy job.
No,
and that they could just sit back and relax.
Oh, no. Let me tell you, holding that video camera, it is hard.
It's all shaking when you watch
it. That's what she says here, okay? And the funny thing is, she is not a person who stays at home. She actually enjoys being out there and doing stuff. Mm-hmm. She describes herself as a what?
A daredevil. So she kind of understands what it's like to be in his shoes because she was once a diver herself.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's into extreme sports.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So she's done what? Skydiving?
Yeah.
She loves roller coasters. Okay, now, do you like roller coasters?
I love roller coasters.
Me too.
Yeah.
So you guys are daredevil.
No.
Well, not exactly.
I'm surprised she included that because, I mean, obviously roller coasters are very safe and, you know, they're contained and things rarely happen wrong when you're on a roller coaster.
True. Yeah. True.
But, yeah, it does give you that feeling, you know, when you're on a roller coaster, that intense.
Right. Well, some people are scared of watching divers because they think of the whole thing of like plummeting and spinning around is just scary.
Mm-hmm.
But in her case, she's like, I've done skydiving. I love going, you know, through the air and, you know, fast speed, all that kind of stuff is her thing. But she says she was petrified when she stood on a platform in Italy. Petrified.
She was extremely scared. That's what petrified means. They're
right.
Very frightened.
You're so frightened you can't move.
Mm-hmm. You know? She could even say she was scared to death.
Right.
To death. Yeah.
So when you get that feeling that you're so scared, you feel like your legs, your knees, you know, just you're not able to even walk or move, even though you may want to, that's feeling petrified. And, of course, being the wife, she wanted to film Stephen's practice dives. Okay, practice.
I know.
Okay, this is just practice.
Yeah.
And yet, was she able to do it?
No, her hands were shaking too much. She had to get someone else to do it, and she was sweating. Can you imagine standing there and holding the camera, and your palms are sweaty? It's terrible. So she could not even film what her husband was doing.
And I think this is partly because she puts herself in his shoes. I mean, any spectator would in a sport like this. You kind of imagine what it's like to be in that in his shoes, and so then you get scared yourself.
True. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that, Gabe, because she knows what it's like in some ways. And so she knows it's not easy, and maybe that's why it's hard for her. Plus the fact that she's married to the guy, too.
Yep.
It's not easy to watch.
And he's been hurt before. He hurt his tailbone, as we learned earlier today. And so knowing that something like that could happen again adds to the anxiety, I'm sure.
Right. So I know for some people, having only been a spectator, it's easy to assume, oh, you just have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And you assume that it's just a this or just a that.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it's all easy to watch, but you're just doing it from a spectator's perspective. But from her situation, from her experience, it's not easy. Now, we have one more paragraph to cover, moving on to the next column, top of page 17. LeBou made it to the finals of the 2004 U.S. Olympic trials.
That's right.
And so he did try out for the Olympics.
Yeah, of course, I'm sure a lot of divers would like to make it to the Olympics and
that's his
represent
background.
Their country, right? Mm-hmm. And this was in a synchronized swimming, and that's when you have a partner and you dive at the same time, and you have to be synchronized, or meaning that your form has to be the same, right?
Okay.
And you're judged upon that.
So you have to mirror each other.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, so
Brandon,
your timing.
Let's try that next time we go cliff diving off the two-story platform.
Yeah.
Synchronized diving.
All right, just with one simple somersault on the floor.
Yeah, somersault on the floor. Synchronized somersault.
Single somersault on the floor.
And then end in the pike position.
Yes. Okay, so that was his background. Okay, we read earlier in this lesson that he started in 2011 with this whole cliff diving. But before all that, he was going for the Olympic trials, so he was an Olympic synchronized diver.
Yeah, do you think he got bored with the Olympics or something? Why did he move on from there and go on to cliff diving?
Well, he did get that torn wrist tendon in 2006.
That's
right. And that was the end of his Olympic aspirations. And aspiration is just another really fancy way of saying dream, you know. And it's not just like daydream, but you really are working hard. You're really putting your hopes and high expectations in a certain area or goal. That's an aspiration. That was what he was shooting for, but it didn't work out. So instead, he turned to other things, and that's where that's what we're going to find out tomorrow, day three of this article. Interestingly enough, he didn't just go straight into cliff diving. He goes off into some other place and does some other things. And, it's fascinating. It's quite fascinating. It's quite entertaining. And so we hope, friends, that you'll join us for day three. It is really quite interesting. And so until then, my name is Liz.
Gabe.
Brandon.
And we hope to see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
See you next time.